But for the last several months, God has been talking to us about miracles and breakthrough blessings, has he not? Amen. Miracles. Has anybody seen some miracles and breakthrough blessings? Any testimonies? Anybody? Come on now. Ooh, Lord have mercy. And he has taught us how these miracles draw attention to the ministry. And how they build our faith. Do they do those things? Yeah. And he's been teaching us how to be recipients of, how to act, how to operate once you've been the recipient of a blessing. A mind-blowing, miracle blessing. But he's also taught us how to manage the journey, because not everybody's got that breakthrough testimony. How to manage the journey from the moment when you know that God is on your side and you know he's got something for you to the point of getting the breakthrough, because that's part of our lives, right? We spend most of our lives between a promise and the presentation of the promise. So we need to know that journey, amen? Amen. And so today I want to focus on a very specific portion of that journey. I want to focus on the portion of the journey when you are just that close to your breakthrough. I want to focus on that part. I mean, you couldn't be closer to your breakthrough. And I want the take-home point to be at that moment when you're just so close and yet it feels so far away. Don't give up. Don't let go of the rope. Don't trust your senses nor your emotions. I'll say it again. Don't give up. Do not let go of the rope. And please, because you will be tempted, do not trust your senses nor your emotions. God has got this. Bottom line, simply put, don't blow it. Don't blow it, because you will be tempted. You will blow it if you trust your senses. You will blow it if you let go. You will blow it if you get too discouraged. You will blow it and let Satan win. We can't do that. I want to do a little illustration. I need some help. I need some volunteers. Sister Carrie, can you stand up? Just stand right over there. I want you to represent. This is a good one. You get the lead role. You get to be the gift. You get to be the breakthrough blessing. How about that? You like that? You get to be the breakthrough blessing. Deacon Melvin, can you come over here for me? Amen. Give me another couple guys. Amen. Amen. Jason, you all the way over there where Sister Carrie is. Give me one more. I need some tough obstacles. I need some challenges. I need somebody that can put a little oomph into it. Amen. You come right here, Brother Marcellus. You're good, Deacon. Amen. You stand right there halfway between him and them. And this is me, and I'm you. I'm representing you, and you know that God is on your side. But it don't always feel like God's on your side, because stuff is always happening. And you haven't seen the breakthrough, and you're still sure. You might even be, oh, nothing good ever happens to me. And you're trying to live your life right, and you're trying to do what God tells you to do. You're trying to do your assignment, but the world can beat you down. The world can discourage you. People can discourage you. And so I'm trying to get over there. I know that there's a blessing. There's a veil, a thin veil in front of that blessing, and I know it's there. It always seems so far away. And Deacon, don't let me get over there. Stop me from getting over there. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to do right. And Satan keeps blocking me out. Amen. He looks like he can do a good basketball player. But I can't get there. I can't get there. And I'm discouraged and I'm frustrated. And finally, with the help of God, I get past that obstacle. Hallelujah. But just when I'm done with one, oh, Lord, have mercy. Here we go again, another one, a different one, coming at me a whole different way. He blocked me out, but now he's going to face guard me. Oh, my God, I'm so discouraged. I'm so fearful. I'm so frustrated. When is God going to finally bless me? But, you know, with the help of God, I always can say I look back on my problems. No matter how bad it is, how many problems do I have I can look back on? How much more proof do I need? And then when I get that close, I can taste it. I just know it's coming. The biggest obstacle of all, the immovable object, is what I got to face now. I've got all this faith I built up because I dealt with those challenges. And what's the use? What's the point? What's the point? I give up. Why even try at this point? I've gone through this far. Why would God get me this close? And now I got this immovable object, this impenetrable object that you could just give up, couldn't you? After all of that, thank you. Thank you. I couldn't go any further and get the gift because that's not what the message is about. It's about the moment before you get the gift. Amen. Amen. So after all that, it seems impossible. I want you to picture not what I just did. I want you to picture your situation. After all of that, you've done everything. You've gotten past barriers. You've overcome things. And then you get to, but no. There's a roadblock, amen? And it was supposed to be a veil, but no, it's a thick brick block wall of an object. And you just say, what's the use? You want to give up. But I want to tell you something. God didn't bring you all that way to leave you. He didn't bring you all that way to disappoint you. And don't you let your senses, and don't you let your emotions, don't you let your eyes dominate your life. Amen? Amen? So again, I tell you, you are so close. You need to know how to navigate the waters of the so closeness. Amen? Amen? So we're going to go to the Bible and learn a little bit more about what happens when you hit that wall of opposition when you are just that close. So you want to learn that? Amen. Let's go to the Old Testament. The book of Numbers. How about that? Numbers chapter 14, 13 and 14. We're going to dabble in both. But for now, turn to chapter 14. Say amen when you have Numbers chapter 14. And we're going to look here at verse 1. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And it reads, and all the congregation, that is the Israelites that had been wandering in the desert, lifted up their voice and cried, yelling and screaming. And the people wept all night. You ever wept all night? You ever wept part of the night and fell asleep because you're crying? So the people of God are yelling and screaming and then crying all night long. Why? Because they got some bad news. Because they got some disappointing news. Have you ever gotten any bad news? You ever gotten any disappointing news that had you hurt, had you upset, had you crying? That's a normal reaction, amen, to getting bad news. But we need to dissect this bad news a little bit further. So if you'll go with me to chapter 13, we got some folks that got some bad news and they're crying and yelling and they did more than that, and you'll see in a moment. So chapter 13, we want to look at verse 25, and we'll read from there. And it reads, and they returned, so these are the 12 spies, they returned from searching of the land for 40 days. Now that's some serious searching, right? Yeah. If you look at anything for 40 days, you ought to come back knowing something about it, right? You'd have figured it out. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron to report out, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them what? The fruit of the land. So they went and spied it out, and they came back with the fruit. What does that prove? That proves that over there in that blessing that was promised, there's some seriously good fruit. And I'm showing you the proof. I know you're not there yet. I know you don't have it yet, but I'm showing you just a little bit. Amen? Amen. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sendest us. And surely what? It floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Are they convinced that God's going to bless them? Are they convinced that the blessing is good? Are they convinced that God did not lie? Amen. They're convinced of it. I just want to make sure. We need to follow this step by step, or else you won't get the lesson. So it's pretty clear that they went into this land that God told them to go into. And we know that Moses told them to go spy it out. We don't know if God told them to spy it out, but this is what they would do. I mean, people, you're still living as humans, amen? So you still may check it out. You still may do your research. But in the end, you don't act on only your research. You also act on what God has already said, amen? Amen. So the blessing is real, but how many of you guys know there's often a but? The blessing is real. God is on your side. God is going to take care of you, but there's always a but. Verse 28. But nevertheless. Now, what came before that nevertheless? They went in there and they looked in there and the fruit was good. And I'm confirming to you, all of us, all 12 of us, that the land is flowing with milk and honey. Now, nevertheless, in other words, forget about all that. Notwithstanding, God didn't lie. It's just as good as he said it was going to be. Maybe even better. I have the proof, but now I'm going to undo all that with my nevertheless. Have you ever nevertheless your blessing? Yes. Nevertheless, the people be strong. Oh, that wall, uh-huh. The people be strong that dwell in the land. It's hard. And the cities are walled and very great, meaning tall and strong. And moreover, I ain't done complaining. I'm not done rationalizing here. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Big, strong enemies that nobody can whip. And Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Trying to help you understand that last part of the journey is hard. It will knock you down. It will discourage you. It will have you resenting the whole idea of having to try to get this blessing that God has for you. All these ites. You got some ites in your life? But then we have the minority report. Because, let me talk to you. You know what? Oh, my God. Now, all these blessings, all these things I've overcome in my life that are behind me. But all I can think about is that wall. All I can think about is the ites. And I'm getting on the phone, and I need to talk to somebody. And you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about my ites. I want to talk about how hard it is. I want to talk about how tough it is. I want to talk about how discouraging it is. I want to talk about all the problems, not the blessing. I just want to talk about my ites. Can you just amen with me on my ites? Can you co-sign my frustration, my disappointment, my fears, my doubts about my ites? Can you pick up the phone and get with me while we talk about all my ites? Because the ites are real. The fruit is real and the ites are real. How do you break the tie? What did God say? That's how you break the tie. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But we don't listen to the Minority Report, by the way. The Minority Report is just as objective, is just as real, but we don't listen to this one. And what does it say in verse 30? It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses, because everybody was all getting frustrated because they just heard this bad report. And he stilled the people before Moses, and he said what? Let us go up at once. That means what? Now. That means don't delay. Because you know what? The longer you delay, the more you get bogged down with your ites. Let us go up at once and possess it. For we are what? Well able to overcome it. It looks like this impenetrable object. It looks like this immovable thing. It looks like it is impossible. It is absolutely too hard. But you got a couple people in your life that's going to tell you, that's going to speak into your ear and say, baby, you can do it. You can make it. You can get through this. You can handle it with God's help. But it's just going to be the minority. But we don't like to really listen to the minority. We want to listen to the crowd. We crowdsource. Anybody in business, you know what crowdsourcing is? You get as many opinions as you can so you can formulate what's really going down. You can't crowdsource off a small sample size, but it's the small sample size that can tell you the truth. Amen. That's right. Preach, sister, preach. Tell it. Hallelujah. So you have this Minority Report, Caleb, and Joshua would have the same testimony, but isn't it nice to find out that Caleb was the one speaking and Joshua gets all the press? So he says, we are well able to take this land. But then let's look at verse 31. It says, but the men that went up with him, this is the rest of the 12. Now, we're not going to put that on Joshua because Joshua wasn't part of this. It said, we be not able to go up against those people. Now, they saw the same thing that Caleb saw. They came back with a piece of the fruit, just like Caleb did. They were in that testimony when they said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But now they say, oh, but we are not able. Pay close attention to what we're going to read here. To go against these people. For what? They are stronger than we. So now, you're just that close. And yes, the challenges are real. All the ites are real. They're bigger than you. The ites are stronger than you. And here's what I want you to see that they did. Remember, they said the land was flowing with milk and honey. They had the fruit in their hand. But we've got these big old giants. And here's what they do next. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report. I want you to see this. This is your rationalization. This is what you do. When you get scared, when you get disappointed, when you get frustrated, when you get beaten down, when you decide that it just can't happen, even though you have a big old God, when you get caught up in what you see and what you feel, and you get people co-signing all your ites, what you do is you start rationalizing. It wasn't that good after all. You can't have him or her. I don't really like him or her after all. Let me remind myself of all the stuff I don't like about him. Not because I don't want him, but I just don't think I can have him. I don't want that job anyway. I don't like that position anyway. It's probably just going to be a headache. Now, you know you want that to grow so you can make a difference, so you can have the power to do good, not the power to control, not the power to boss around. But you get to that point, you're like, I don't need it anyway. It would have been such a headache. So they brought up an evil report of the land. Now, remember, Exhibit A was they said it was great, didn't they? Now, these same people. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. What did they say? They said, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof. The land eats them up. Don't try to figure out what that means. Just imagine it's bad. In other words, that place ain't no good place to live. Every theologian, if you read the commentaries, they got 50 million different reasons, the excuses for what this really means. The land eats them up. There was a lot of funerals. You know, they had a pestilence. They had whatever it is. They're trying to make up why it's. Just understand, they're just saying it ain't good living there. That's all you got to know. And the most important point ain't even there. It's the fact that you just heard them tell a whole different story a minute ago. But now we're focusing on the ites. And so now we're going to basically say it's not really good living in there anyway. But listen, when somebody starts doing this rationalization, they always tell on themselves. Okay? And so they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we had gone and searched it, the land just eats up its inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. That was the real issue. They rationalized and said, oh, you know, it just eats up the people. But, you know, by the way, I'm not one to really want to emphasize this. This ain't really the problem. You know, them people are really big. And when they get going, then they tell, let them keep talking. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. What was the real problem? They're scared of those giants. They don't think they can pull it off because those giants are way bigger than you. And the truth is, yes, they are bigger than you. And you see them as giants, and they see you as small. And so, hey, there you have it. That's why they said the land was all jacked up. That's called rationalizing. So when you find yourself doing that, to convince yourself that it ain't worth trying, so you don't want to take that on yourself, so you say, well, you convince yourself it really isn't worth the effort. You've come all this way to now get this close and convince yourself it ain't worth the effort because you see a big giant in the way. Are we learning anything? Amen, amen, amen. It's a waste of time. It ain't worth trying. Amen? Amen. It's not even worth it. So now we see why they were crying, right? That's the report they just got. You would cry too if you got that kind of report. So now we'll go back to chapter 14. Now we'll skip one because all we know there, they were crying and boo-hooing and being upset, but they didn't stop there. Did you know that when you get to that point, after you've done all you're supposed to do for God and you done got past all these barriers and you that close to your blessing and you allow your circumstances or what you see or what you feel to beat you down, you don't stop there. You need to stop yourself there, but you don't stop there unless you stop yourself, because here's what happens. Let's go to verses 2-4. And all the children of Israel, what did they do? Murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God, in other words, does God want us to have died? I mean, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt? In other words, why didn't you just leave me where I was? You're going to take me all this way, have me deal with all these obstacles, which are really opportunities to see God work so you can look back on the miracles he's done for you, so you can deal with that wall in a different way. But you don't look at it like that when you let yourself get down. Would God that we should have just died in Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto the... Why did he even bring us this far? Just to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Does this sound familiar? It's better that we just go back to Egypt, right? Isn't that something? Disappointed, angry, frustrated. So not just disappointed, but really they've gone all the way to resentment. Why don't we just go back to where we were? I now regret following God and God's man. I've gone through all this. I'm that close to my blessing. Now I'm going to resent the person that encouraged me in the first place. I'm going to resent the person that got me to this point, and I'm going to resent the God that they represent. Why? Because I'm trusting my feelings and I'm trusting what I see. Amen? Amen. So what do I want to do? I want to resort back to my comfort zone, my old haunts, my old ways, the stuff that I'm used to. I know how to do that. You got me over here where I don't know what to do, but I know how to do that. Let me just go back to my old comfort zone. You can take the folks out of Egypt, but you can't take the Egypt out of them. Amen? Amen. So we'll read on real quickly. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all of the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, and the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. These are the people who have been trying to encourage you to let God help you. These are the people who are telling you, you can do it. You can get there. These are the people that see more in you than you see in yourself. They see more blessings for you than you're willing and able to dream of for yourself. This is the minority report. This is what happens to them when you let it get you down. This is what happens to them when you just listen to all the folks that co-sign all your ites. This is what happens to them when they see you defeated when you should be victorious, because they can see the thin veil, but you see the big giants in the wall. They become grieved because they just know God's going to bless you. But you can't hear them. You can only hear your rationalization and all the folks co-signing with you. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, all this way. Yeah, them church folks don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, that pastor don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, you're right. You should just go back to where you were. You had it good. What's the point? So they tear their clothes. This is grief. And so then verse 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is exceedingly good land. It really is good. As a matter of fact, it's better than you think. But this is the minority report. It doesn't matter how much I cry with you. It doesn't matter how much I try to encourage you. It doesn't matter how much I try to show you the evidence of God and remind you of how he got you to where you are. It's the same God that's going to get you into the promised land. But you don't want to hear me. You can't hear me. Too caught up with the majority. That's wrong. The majority that's actually rationalizing. They know. They're just, it's too hard. Amen? Amen? So we have an equally objective and an equally strong opposition, but they're in the minority. Verse 8, it goes on to say, if the Lord delight in us, that he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey, if the Lord delight in us. It ain't that if the Lord loves us. If the Lord believes that I can handle, if I allow the Lord to let me in. Only just do this one thing. Just don't rebel. Just don't get so disappointed that you start to focus on God in a negative way, that you start to look at God's people in a negative way, or you start to look at God's messenger in a negative way, just because you got giants in the land. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We're going to chew them up and spit them out. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Are they giants? Yes. But guess what? It's a setup. They're going to go down like bowling pins. But you don't see that. Now I'm telling you this, but you really want to listen to the majority report because it fits how you feel. I'm trying to tell you what God can do. I'm trying to tell you what God will give you. I'm trying to tell you how close you are. But who do you listen to at that time? Amen? Amen. Basically, he's saying, just don't rebel. Just don't blow it. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You've gotten this far. I know how you feel. The giants are real. But look, God has got this. This is easy for him. You just don't blow it. That's all I'm asking you. Just don't blow it. You can get tired. You can even get a little bit afraid. Just don't let your flesh win. It looks like the object is immovable. It looks like the barrier cannot be penetrated. The giants in the land of your miracle, of your breakthrough, they're actually the underdog. Did you know that? I know what it feels like. I know what it looks like. Some of you can tell this story as well as I'm telling it because you match it up to the situations you're in. Think about how you felt. Think about what you were going through when you were at that point. You got to this point. You knew God can bless you. You know how many enemies come against you. You know how those ites feel. You know what that feels like. They have names in your life, those ites. But they're the underdog. Some of you who now have gotten over and you tasting that beautiful fruit, that milk and honey, weren't they the underdog all along? It didn't feel like it, though, at the time. It didn't look like it at the time. The only way that they can win, as big as they are, the only way, literally the only way they can win, is if you give up. Heaven forbid you go further and get all resentful against God, against Christianity, against your calling, against your purpose, against where he put you, against the messengers wherever you are, against the people who've been encouraging you. You get mad at them. That's even worse. But you can't lose. The only way you can lose is to quit. You're so close. You're just that close. Just don't blow it. You remember Abraham and Sarah? That close to a miracle of all miracles. For God chose this man to be the progenitor of the ultimate solution to all of mankind's problems. That close, what did they do? They gave up. And Sarah came with an ite. And he bought into it and ended up with heartache because of Ishmael, did they not? Just that close. I think of John the Baptist's father, Zacharias. Him and his wife been wanting a child all along. He's been working dutifully in the temple. Just that close. So much so that the angel came and said, "You got this, man. It's going down." He couldn't even accept the good news. Anybody ever not be able to accept good news? Uh-huh. You got good news. You got promise. But you rather focus on the negative. You rather focus on, no, we can't do this. You rather focus on what you think you can pull off rather than what God said he's going to pull off. You rather focus on all the times before you when you didn't have it instead of the hope and the excitement of now having it. So he spent the whole pregnancy not being able to enjoy it and look forward to it. He was stricken dumb, couldn't talk, couldn't celebrate it, couldn't get excited, couldn't tell you how excited he was about the wife's stomach starting to poke out. Why? Because God had to teach him a lesson. He was made dumb. Just that close. You can't lose unless you quit. You can't lose unless you let go of the rope. Just asking you not to blow it. It's not complicated. Just don't give up. Just don't give in at that time. Just don't allow your senses and your emotions to get the best of you in those moments. Brother Marcellus, in those moments, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, sometimes what you really need to do is nothing. That's a victory. If you can, in those moments, you ain't got to be no superhero. That's God. All you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of God. Doing nothing is the hardest thing to do at that moment, but that's exactly what you need to do. Nothing. Can you do nothing in the face of your feelings? Can you do nothing in the face of what your eyes can see? Oh, I didn't even mention, can you do nothing when people are chirp, 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 and they're chirping matches, Hittites, Amalekites, the ites are real. Chirp, 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 chirp. The mountain is real, but that mountain has to be removed because it is adversity that God allowed that Satan wants to leave there, But if it stands between you and the blessing that God wants you to have, guess what? It's got to go. It cannot stay. It must go, what? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So all of these folks, whether it's Abraham and Sarah, whether it's Zacharias, whether it's us, whether it's the children of Israel who are right there, they went in the land. They get to do more than what we get to do. They actually had the fruit. They knew what the deal was. But they want to focus on the enemy. They want to focus on the giantness. They want to focus on how hard it is. Is anything worth having not worth going through something for? So they trusted their eyes rather than trusting God. They trusted their circumstances rather than trusting God. We trust our eyes and our emotions and our ears, our senses, over trusting what God wants to do for us. And he wants us to know this morning, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough. Ain't no giant, listen to me, strong enough. Think about the giants that are standing between you and your breakthrough miracle blessing. Ain't no giant strong enough to keep you from your miracle breakthrough blessing. Only you can stop that by letting your flesh get the best of you. When you get to that moment, do nothing. Get out of the bed, put your feet on the ground, go about your day, do your job. Yes, chirp, 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 chirp. The Hittites, all them ites are real. But every day you have a notch on your belt. I got through this day without blowing it. I got through another day without letting my flesh get the best of me. I got another day that's like sobriety, and another day of doing nothing but letting God handle his business. The fruit is real. The milk and honey are real. And when that day comes, you're going to be glad you did a whole lot of nothing. You don't want to blow it and say, oh, man, because then that's when you're going to see how, oh, you don't want to be that one. You don't want to do that. And some of you have done a whole lot of nothing. You can tell it better than I. How good is better than that? It's sweeter than you thought it was. Am I right? It's more. There's more fruit than you ever imagined. More kinds of fruit. The fruit is bigger. It's juicier than you ever thought. And you didn't have to do it. God did it. Yes, the giants were real, and yet, like the Red Sea parted, bam, there you are. So don't give up. Don't let go. Don't blow it. It'll be worth it. You'll get your blessings. Your faith will be increased. And then you'll have an experience to share. You'll be able to pay it forward. To God be the glory. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're bigger than any of our problems. You're bigger than any obstacle. It's nothing to you. We need to just do nothing, stand still, and see the salvation. You will come through for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.